today's Labor Day, national holiday. As I was reading the gospel, I could see the garbage truck going, passing by the back windows there. You could hear that sound. So the garbage collectors are still working on Labor Day, and so are a lot of people. But we know that it's Labor Day. It's meant as a day of to honor people who work for a living, especially the people who are day laborers, farmers, fishermen, garbage men, rank and file. It's a little bit ironic, of course, because most people who are supposed to be honored by this day, actually, if they don't work today, they don't get paid. Day laborers don't get paid if they don't work, no matter what day it is. So, yes, factory workers, office workers, government workers, for sure, schools, banks, those people all have the day off. Everyone here has a day off, but it's just a little bit funny that the people who need a day off the most, and those who we should honor, who do the backbone of the hard work in the country, they don't really benefit that much from Labor Day. Since it's an election year, I think today is also a day for campaigning. That's the impression I get, is that this is a day to gather people together and do some last minute campaigning. The election is May 12th, so that's still more than a week away, but getting close. Now, in the church, this is not Labor Day, this is the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. And it's not a coincidence that the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker is on Labor Day. It was deliberately chosen by Pope Pius XII when he saw that the communist countries were declaring this day as a day to celebrate labor, when in fact communism subjects the laborer to the good of the state. That's what communism does. It subjects the individual good to the good of the state. And even if our individual suffers, as long as the state benefits, it's considered permissible, even good, to sacrifice the worker for the good of the state. And that's not a Christian way of looking at workers or any person. And in fact, what happens is workers are just as much exploited by the communist system as by unbridled capitalism. The workers, no matter what system they're under, they always get the short end of the deal. They don't get the benefit of their labor. Pius XII was also aware that in capitalist countries, the laborers were exploited by the Industrial Revolution, and the people who made all the money were the landowners and factory owners. And that was why labor unions had to rise up to defend the rights of laborers. Anyway, those systems are imperfect. The typical, is that what I call unbridled capitalism, that will subject the good of the state or the good of the country to the individual good. So if someone can benefit himself, doesn't matter what happens to anybody else. If I can make money, I don't care what happens to you. It's kind of the opposite of the communist error, but they're both wrong. You can't subject the country to whatever the whims of an individual are. You can't subject the individual to whatever the whims of the state are. Every person, this is why we need a Christian understanding of the human person and his place in the creation. Every person is made in the image and likeness of God. We just heard it in the first reading. And every person is under the law of God. Can't just do whatever he wants to make a buck. He is a participant in the work of God. So this is what today's feast day helps us recognize. It's a feast of St. Joseph the Worker, but in fact the readings don't make any mention of Joseph, at least not by name. Even the gospel is not chosen as one of the gospels where Joseph is actually working, because by the time this gospel takes place, Joseph is already dead. In this gospel, Jesus is identified as the carpenter's son. So that's as close as we get to a mention of Joseph, his job, his work, carpenter. Because today's the day to focus not only on Joseph himself, but on the whole place of work in the plan of God. And in that way, Joseph does stand out as a great example because he participated in the work of God perfectly. His being a carpenter made it possible for him to provide for his wife and son, Mary and Jesus. And that was what God asked him to do. Don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. Don't be afraid to accept this son. Name him Jesus. Take the role of a father over him. And he did it. So Joseph's work, much more important than his carpentry, was his work of providing for and guiding, leading the Holy Family. That was his great work. Well, the readings do emphasize work. They mention work all the time. In the first reading, we took the option of the reading from Genesis. We read about the sixth day, or what part of what happened on the sixth day, that is God's work, actually the culmination of God's work. God is presented as a worker. And this is very important, because to the capitalists and the communists, God isn't even in the picture. And that's why they get it wrong. But if God is the first worker, then our understanding of work is based on what God does and who God is, because we're made in his image. So here's the work of God at the conclusion or culmination of the work of creation. On the sixth day, he creates man, male and female, in his own image. And he says, okay, you, this my best creatures in the physical world, I'm going to put you in charge of everything else. Fill the earth, subdue the earth, have dominion over the fish and the birds and the living things, and eat the plants, and be in charge of this beautiful garden. That's your work. And then it says God rested on the seventh day, and it says it over and over again. I didn't notice this until today. It mentions the seventh day three times, and that God finished his work three times. On the seventh day, God was finished with the work. The word work stood out because today is the feast of Joseph the Worker. He finished with the work he had been doing. God rested on the seventh day from all the work he had undertaken. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work he had done in creation. Three times. Seventh day, three times, finishing work. Not because that is revealing that much about God, but because that's establishing the pattern for us who are made in his image. We are supposed to work 6 days and rest on the seventh day. No one's supposed to work every day. Okay, we'll have to leave that topic aside for a moment because that is also lost so often. Well, whenever we lose respect for God, we lose respect for the Lord's day as well. But the point here is that God is a worker and we're made in his image, so we are workers. Our work is a participation in his work. In the psalm, this connection is brought out. We pray to the Lord, Lord, give success to the work of our hands, the work we're doing. But the psalms are more about God's work. Before the mountains were begotten, the earth and the world, God has always been God, even before any of the work of creation started. And in his eyes, we're going to go back to dust. We're not permanent, but for God, 1,000 years are as yesterday. So we ask God in the psalm, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Teach us to number our days aright. Teach us how to understand our place in this creation, our temporary place, because yes, we do return to dust after a short time, and help us to do the work that you want us to do. Give success to the work of our hands. And then in the end of the psalm here, it says, let your work be seen by your servants. Let us see what you're doing, Lord, and then based on that, we will participate. So we're talking about God's work and our work, and they go together. That's where Joseph comes in. Joseph understood his role in the plan of God, not in the economic system. you could say God's economy or the divine economy is what helps us understand the value of our work. Our work in the economic system is valued according to how much we can make, how much we can earn, or how much we can earn for our company. And there's something to that, of course, but that's not ultimately the basis for understanding the value of what we do. The question is, how does it fit into the plan of God? How does what we do participate in what God is doing and what God has set up? That's why I said, Joseph's work as a husband and a father is much more important than his work as a carpenter. Joseph would have done any honest work to support the Holy Family. He would do anything to fulfill his work as a husband and a father. Now, Joseph also reminds us that our dignity is not based on our economic value or our place in the economic system. This seems to be the mistake that the people of Nazareth make in this gospel. They see Jesus, who is a carpenter's son, so therefore he must be a carpenter, and he's not doing carpentry. In fact, he's standing in the synagogue teaching. Well, that's not his work, according to the people of Nazareth. He's not doing his work. Neither, he's not doing his carpentry work, and he's doing something he shouldn't be doing. So therefore, we take offense at him. We don't accept him. And the effect of that kind of prejudice and that kind of wrong standard for evaluating people leads to Jesus not working. That's the last line of the gospel. He did not work many mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith. Now, he was still God and he was still doing perfectly the will of the Father, but he's making it clear that where there's lack of faith, we're not participating in the work of God. So this day, Labor Day, by itself, in the national holiday, does not by itself give us the full, rich understanding of labor, of work. For that, we need to have an understanding of God, our Creator, and of our own dignity as His creatures made in His image and likeness. Once we have those in place, who God is and who we are, then we can start to evaluate our work. And we can be free to devote ourselves to the work of God without too much concern about how much money we have or don't have or make or don't make. As long as we're doing the will of God, we're participating in the work of creation. The danger, and we know this, gosh, it's obvious everywhere in every country, the danger of evaluating people's value based on money is just terrible. Because what happens is then children aren't worth anything, old people aren't worth anything, people with disabilities aren't worth anything, and they become disposable. And the work of caring for all these people becomes a waste of time. So Joseph would never think like that. St. Joseph, our guide, our patron, a worker, he's still working for us, interceding for us. And we ask his intercession for us, for the world. Of course, we're especially asking him to intercede for the cardinals because they're going to do the work of electing the successor of Peter. So yes, we entrust ourselves to the powerful intercession of St. Joseph, the worker.